South Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm having fun with my friend William Quackenbush before the game.
Yeah.
I said before the show, I said, Quack. I said, man, I've never disagreed with you about more things on one show ever. He said, you don't agree about the Louisville thing? I said, no, neither do you. I said, the only thing you're trying to do is make your preseason prognostication of Louisville being in the playoff happen. That's why you're making this argument. I said, you can't be making that argument. He said, yeah, but what about Notre Dame? I said, no, those are not the same thing. I said, Miami played at Notre Dame in the first game of the season. I said, Louisville, or Virginia won at Louisville. Virginia won a road game. And Quack said, yeah, but the overtime. I said, there's no such category, Quack. That's, you're making it up. I said, there's only wins and losses. And again, that game was at Louisville. Had that game been at Virginia? See, this is where I would agree with Quack's argument. If the game had been at Virginia, I generally don't consider those type of wins as meaningful. But when the game's at Louisville, you can't supersede that until it doesn't matter. Quackson, but I think like Virginia's only like an 8-win. I agree with that. I said, but the reality is until that happens, you have to vote Virginia ahead of Louisville. You just do. There's a head-to-head, and the game was played at Louisville. So you can't jump that. Until Virginia loses a second time. And look, Louisville's not played anybody either. I mean, we want to talk about best wins. Well, if Louisville's so great, then the best win was Virginia's win at Louisville. And Louisville, you know, Louisville's win over Pittsburgh came with Eli Holstein at the quarterback. It's not the Pittsburgh team that we're watching now. So I just don't see that. I mean, I think the Notre Dame-Miami situation is very different because Notre Dame started with two early losses and they've been winning since. And again, that game was at Miami. And Miami has suffered two late losses. So listen, as somebody who's now voting in a poll, in this map poll, I can tell you there's no perfect way. There is no one formula that can be applied to the whole thing. You just have to do the best you can. But there's no way you can put Louisville ahead of Virginia until Virginia loses another game. Once Virginia loses another game, then you can do it. But if that doesn't happen, then Virginia stays ahead. Look, the ACC is friggin' screwed. That's the bottom line. The ACC is screwed because the winner of the conference championship game is going. Unless madness happens elsewhere, that's it. The ACC is getting one team. Because the league... You know, I heard Ben say the league might be better as a whole than it was last year. It might be, at least more competitive. But again, you have the dilemma of these are your top teams. You've got one team in Virginia that no one really believes in, and Louisville still has Moss as quarterback, which is just, it's a non-starter in terms of being competitive in a playoff game, in my mind. So I think that the committee did a good job. I mean, when I look at what they did last night, and again, I couldn't watch it either, but I'm, you know, following it on social media. When I look at what the committee did last night, it would have been basically what I would have done. Oregon at 9 was the most interesting element of it, and I understand it because Oregon doesn't really have any significant wins. The win that they had that was significant was the opener against Penn State in Happy Valley, but that win has since been blown up. So all Oregon has from a meaningful standpoint is they have a home loss to Indiana. Now, again, Indiana is an elite team, but I think it's interesting that Oregon, I, of of all the things that occurred last night in this poll, and look, do I think Oregon's better than 9? Yes. Do I think they're better than Alabama and Georgia? Actually, I do. But I don't think it matters because, again, we're talking about what you've actually done. And I don't think Oregon's done enough to be higher than this right now. So I think the committee largely got Oregon right. I think they got Notre Dame right. I think they got Utah right. I like that Utah is sitting right on the fringe of the playoff because I think Utah's a really deserving team. In all honesty, I think Utah kicked the crap out of any ACC team right now. Any ACC team. You put Utah in a neutral field against any ACC team right now, I think they kicked the crap out of them. I mean, I think they win by 2 touchdowns. I think Utah's the team I'm watching. Utah and Texas Tech are the two teams I'm watching as potential Final Four teams. I think as we sit here today, well, you might look at this and say, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Final Four teams, who's the fourth team? Some will say Alabama. I don't think so. Some will say Georgia. I definitely don't think so. Some will say BYU. I don't think so either. I think the two teams out of the Big 12 that could be in that position when all is said and done are Texas Tech and Utah. Why don't I have a clock, Ramona? We'll figure that out during the break. But I think by and large, I think the committee got it right. I don't, you know, there are some little things. Like I think you could have put Indiana ahead of Ohio State. I think the reason Indiana isn't ahead of Ohio State, if I had to guess, was the real soft schedule in the first three games. But Indiana, without question, has the most substantial win of the season. No one's even close. Indiana's win at Oregon, and the way they won the game, you know, convincingly. You know, I heard Ian last night making a case that, yeah, well, that's a big win. That's the biggest win. But, you know, he's a big Dan Lanning guy, or some relationship with Dan Lanning. But he took exception to Amber saying that Indiana whooped up Oregon. Well, they did. I'm sorry, you can take exception to it all they want. Oregon had 40 yards in the second half. That's getting your A whooped at home. 40 yards in the second half. You know, Indiana's few injuries right now. Injuries always play a role in this. But by and large, I think the committee got it right in the first offering. I would not have any ACC team in. At this point, I don't think there's a deserving ACC team. That might change as we move forward, and we'll see whether some of these other teams from these other leagues lose again, which is certainly possible. I mean, this thing is a fluid situation. It's subject to change on a week-by-week basis. The ACC would have had a team in had Georgia Tech won on the road against NC State. But, you know, Georgia Tech gave up 8 million yards. Haynes King put up 511 yards as a one-man gang, but that's the reality of it. Miami lost again, so that, you know, excluded them, and that's where we are. The other surprise might be Pittsburgh, and I guess this is, you know, the pre- and post-Holstein Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, you know, honestly, if you want to talk about who's playing the best football, Mike Wachs, you know, the Louisville thing. If you want to know who's playing the best football in the ACC, it's Pittsburgh. Since the quarterback change, Pittsburgh's been really good. Really good. And, you know, they made the college football, the inaugural college football playoff poll last night, and they came in at 24th. But, you know, this looks a lot like my picks that I submitted. I mean, there are a few differences. I have Oregon higher, but I had Texas Tech in this range. I had Texas, Oklahoma, and Utah where they are. I had Virginia and Louisville where they are. I had Vandy and Georgia Tech where they are. Miami, Southern Cal, Iowa. I did not have Michigan. I dumped Michigan this week. I had Missouri, Washington. I did not have Pittsburgh, and I did not have Tennessee. I had South Florida in. I had Memphis in. I think that I really think that South Florida is the best G5 team. Now, South Florida lost at Memphis. Now, they led that game by 2 touchdowns. South Florida was playing without their top receiver. Actually, they're playing out without their 2 top receivers, and they still led Memphis by 14 in the fourth quarter and lost. But that was at Memphis. And that's the one allowance I make. I think home and away matters. I think home and away really does matter. For example, if a visitor loses a game by three, I don't really view that as a loss. Now, you know, again, if a home team loses by three, well, that's 100% a loss. I think those are two different things. And again, I think that explains the distinction between, I think there are multiple distinctions between Notre Dame and Louisville. I think the one distinction is where the losses occurred. Again, Notre Dame lost at Miami in a close game. Louisville lost at home to Virginia. That's a different thing. And I don't care whether it's overtime or not. Like I said, to me, there's no category for overtime. If you wanted to argue that, we could have argued that a long time ago. I think that ship has sailed. I think there's either wins or losses, regardless of how they occur. So that's how I view it in any case. But when I look at the totality of what the committee did last night, I think they did the right thing. I think the one team that's probably unhappy is Oregon. I think they're probably unhappy with their position as a 7-1 team. But again, who have they beaten? Ramona, pull up Oregon's schedule. The win against Penn State seemed enormous when it happened, but it's been completely devalued to the point it really doesn't mean anything. And whether that's fair or not, that's the reality. So who else of substance has Oregon played or beaten? Because I think the answer is largely nobody. I mean, they played Indiana and they played them at home and they got worked, especially in that second half. I mean, they got worked by Indiana. 40 yards of offense in the second half. That's the most amazing performance of the year. Even Ohio State, what's Ohio State's best win? Texas? And they beat them 14-7 in Arch Manning's first game of the year at home, and Texas was on the goal line two other times. Now, Ohio State's played a lot better since then, and Julian Sain certainly elevated his game. I'm just telling you right now, if somebody is actually filling out the results or putting in an entry in the map poll, now there's no one size fits all solution to this. There just isn't. You do the best you can trying to apply common sense to it. And where teams have the same number of losses, you can't ignore head to head. You just can't. Until the losses change, you can't ignore head to head. You especially can't ignore head to head when one team is the visitor and wins on the road. You definitely can't ignore head to head. That is the rule over Trump everything else. What do you have?
Okay, their next game is at
No, no. I want to know what their schedule's been.
Oh, what they already did?
Yeah.
Montana State.
Yeah, big one.
Oklahoma State.
Okay, so far they've not played a team that's even a living, breathing entity.
At Northwestern.
Okay, Northwestern doesn't suck, but go ahead.
Oregon State.
Who's just dreadful.
At Penn State.
So far the best team they've played, including Penn State, is Northwestern.
And then they had Indiana at home.
Who they got belted by, especially in the second half.
Then they were at Rutgers.
Okay.
At home at Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then they're at Iowa.
Okay, so far, again, this will change a little this weekend, but so far they have literally played nobody. They've beaten nobody. Let me put it that way. They've played Indiana. They've beaten nobody. All right, so that's why they're 9. And I think the committee did the right thing. I personally have them higher in my poll because I see their potential and their talent. But in terms of what they've actually accomplished, again, this thing is not easy when you try and rank these teams. It's just not. It may seem easy, but it's just far more complicated. If you actually take it seriously, it's just far more complicated than it seems on the surface. But in Oregon's case, I think when you look at that schedule and the devalued Penn State game, and then the only real team they've played is Indiana, who's obviously very good, but they played them at home. And again, I thought they got worked in the second half of that game as Indiana took control and steamrolled them and won the game. So to me, they don't have anything on their resume right now. Nothing. I mean, like I said, who's the best team they've beaten? Is it Northwestern? Is Northwestern the best team Oregon's beaten? I think it is, based on the schedule that Ramona just wrote off. Run those through one more time quickly.
Montana State, Oklahoma State, at Northwestern, Oregon State, at Penn State, Indiana, at Rutgers, Wisconsin, at Iowa.
Okay, they haven't played Iowa yet. So when you just look at that schedule, the best win they have is Northwestern. That's their best win. I don't know, maybe they're lucky to be 9, but again, that's the divide between one loss and two loss. So 9, honestly, I think the committee completely aced the exam. I'm not sure I've ever said that before. I think they got the whole thing exactly right. I think you can debate Ohio State and Indiana 1-2, but other than that, I think they got the whole thing exactly right. I think they put Oregon in the exact right spot, given what their charge is. Oregon right now is the worst one-loss team. The worst one-loss team except for Virginia and Louisville. But they're the worst one-loss team in that top 10 region. I think that's where they put them. You know, they don't have a credible win. They played 8 games and their best win's Northwestern. Quick break.
You ask QC Kinetics for more pain treatment options, more affordable relief. You've asked for more flexibility, and they've listened. So starting now, your joint pain is a scale of 5 or is it a 10? Maybe you're a weekend warrior, a pickleballer, a golfer, a runner, and you just need to get that joint pain. You've had it for years. Maybe you're facing surgery. However, they've got all kinds of new treatments as well. So flexible, regenerative treatments now, scalable options for you. If you have minor issues, they're there to help you. Major issues, they're there to help you. You're going to love QC Kinetics. They're going to meet you wherever you are right now with the telemedicine, the consultation there. It's all easy. Don't go underneath the knife. Don't do more drugs. Get it done and get it done right. QC Kinetics is helping more people than ever with flexible options with regenerative cell therapy. Do this. Call them 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454. If you need help, you need it now. 864-766-8454 in Greenville and in Asheville.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for 6 decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number 1, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number 1, Tom Plumber.
Do you need to reboot your style? If your work boots kick the bucket, then get to Harrison. We're the boot capital of the world with more in-stock boots than anyone. Work boots, western boots, hiking boots, rain boots, and plenty of wow boots. Job site, rodeo, tailgate, honky-tonk, Harrison's has boots for all walks of life. But if you need to put your best foot forward, stop by Harrison, the home of work, western, and wow! Come see us in Malden and Spartanburg or shop online at harrisonsusa.com. Boots you're after, Harrison's has them.
When making decisions, it's important to take a long view and consider how our choices will affect us for generations to come. Longview Carolina is a gated community that emphasizes that long view with on-site gardens, miles of trails, mature forests, open meadows, and gathering spaces with 50-mile views, all designed to spark true community. Go to contact at longviewcarolina.com to schedule your private tour today. Longview Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
From kickoff to cash out, ESPN Bet has the tools you need to score more on game days. Bet smarter with stats at your fingertips. Get personalized parlays built just for you. And with your fantasy team synced right in the app, you can back your squad. Right now, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $10. Sign up with promo code USL to get started. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
911, what's your emergency?
A tornado. It's coming right at us.
ABC Thursdays, the 911 universe expands to Nashville.
A fire out is a tornado.
2 miles!
From executive producer Ryan Murphy.
Get everyone you can and send them out here now!
Chris O'Donnell, Jessica Capshaw, Kimberly Williams-Paisley, Leanne Rimes.
We are on the move!
The hell is safe, kid.
911 Nashville, all new Thursdays, 9, 8 central on ABC and stream next day on Hulu.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Walt Dip to the Road Rage. We are back. Texas says, 508 says, Walt, why do you like Utah more than BYU? That's a fair question, especially since BYU recently beat Utah. And I had BYU in that game. But, it, you know, here's the thing. In that football game, BYU actually ran the ball very effectively against Utah. And BYU's a good running team. I mean, LJ Martin and company, that's a good running football team. Again, if you're asking me who I would rank higher right now, I ranked BYU higher. I put BYU in the top 10. I didn't have Utah in the top 10. But, again, that game was at BYU, and it was a close game. But if you ask me which team I think has the better potential to be a playoff factor, I think it's Utah. I think Utah is just coming of age. You know, so much of sports is when games are played and how teams are playing at the right time. And I think Utah is just becoming that team. I think the last 2 weeks, Utah's been totally dominant. I mean, they destroyed a good Cincinnati team this week. I mean, the world thought Cincinnati was going to beat them, seemingly. And Utah just humiliated them. I mean, and they're doing it with an elite run game They're running for a ton of yards. They're getting really good quarterback play from Dampier. They have talent at receiver, and their defense is really aggressive under Whittingham and Wooten. So I think Utah is starting to look dangerous to me. I don't think BYU looks dangerous to me. I think BYU, I think what BYU has accomplished is incredible, absolutely incredible. To lose your starting quarterback before the game and before the season and to have no real idea who your backup was going to be, so much so that three guys have to compete for it, and you find this out right before the year for a team that had big expectations. I think what that coaching staff has done at BYU this year, I mean, you want a coach of the year, there's your dude. All right, because what they've done is unbelievable. And again, they did beat Utah at BYU. What they've really accomplished is incredible. I don't think that Bachmeier is good enough to get anything done in a playoff situation. I'm not discounting them, but look, they've got a tough game this week at Texas Tech. Obviously, Texas Tech, Texas Tech has one loss, and their one loss was when they didn't have a healthy Baron Morton. And so it's a big game. That's a big game. So we'll see more this weekend. But in terms of the direction of two teams, I really like the direction of Texas Tech and the direction, particularly the direction of Utah. I think both those teams are headed the right way at the right point of the year. And I think that league's getting two teams in. I think it would be a disgrace, actually, unless something wild happens. I think the Big 12 has been shockingly good this year. And I think that league deserves two teams in, maybe more than two teams. I mean, we're gonna bend over backwards to include every SEC team and every Big Ten team. I mean, I'm going to ask the same question about the SEC I've asked all along. Do they have an elite team? Does the SEC have a team other than maybe A&M, which I always view as like a rental team? But do they have a team other than A&M that's capable of winning a national title? Is A&M capable of winning a national title? We'll find out. We'll find out more this weekend. I think maybe they are in terms of how they've played lately. I also think they have one Achilles heel. So we'll see. Yeah. Dash said, well, yes, we'll take more Leon Russell. Exactly. That was a game time decision. Dash said, BYU 19-2 over the last two seasons. Why does nobody talk about Sitake for other jobs? It's a good question. I think that if you go back 2 years ago, I think there was a lot of talk about Sitake was ready to be fired at BYU. There was a lot of negativity. Because remember, he had some real success early, and then they hit sort of rock bottom, and then it seemed like he was on the verge of getting fired, and then he turned it completely around. I think when you listen to Sitake, you understand why he's so good at what he does. You're 100% right, Texter. And it may be, honestly, it may be a religious thing. It may be. I don't know. I don't know if he's Mormon. I don't know. I don't know if that impacts that situation from either side. I'm just not certain of that. But I'll tell you what, if he continues to win at the rate he's winning at, it won't matter. Yeah, it's a really good question. Sitake, I'm telling you, I just think he's an impressive dude. When you lose Retzlaff before the start of the year, right before the start of the year, I mean, you're getting ready to play football. You think you've got an elite college quarterback who was terrific for you last year, and all of your chief weapons are back, and you're thinking to yourself, man, we have a chance to win a national title. We're going to be in that mix. And then you lose the most important piece, and you still are undefeated. I mean, I just think it speaks volumes to that coaching staff and what they've been able to accomplish. So kudos to them. Absolutely kudos to them. Texter said, in order to be a head coach at BYU, you have to be an active member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Right. And so, and does that perhaps preclude him from going other places? It might. It might. It shouldn't. But it might be a personal thing for him, too. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. It certainly shouldn't mean he's discriminated against by somebody, but he himself might, again, value his religion enough that he doesn't want to make that move. So I can't answer it. We've seen this question come up before, And I don't think there's ever a necessarily a good answer to it. Tariel Chad. Chad, how are you, Chad? Good to have you.
America's team. What's going on?
What's going on, Chad?
I want to talk a little basketball. Is that all, you mind?
Yeah, no.
So do you think the ACC, not as a whole, but at least the top, let's say, 6-7 teams, the league is going to be better than they have been the last several years? Do you see a little resurgence, I guess, maybe that kind of thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, my answer to that, Chad, would be I think so, but I'll know more after we watch them play the SEC. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
I want to see them. I want to see them play somebody else because last year it didn't go well. So let's find out when they step out of league and when they compete against the SEC and others, how the league looks. I think on paper,
although they have done pretty well in the tournament.
Yeah, that's true. But on paper, I would agree with that. But let's be honest, the ACC regular seasons of late have been almost a disaster. So it's got to get I guess, Jan, I'd view it this way. It can only go up because it hasn't been very good. So we'll.
No, I agree. No, I agree with you.
And I think some of the known contenders should be very good. Then maybe some of the teams that, you know, the media didn't really believe in, like Clemson, will prove to be far more formidable than most thought.
Yeah, it could be. We'll see. I haven't watched. I watched a little bit of basketball, and then of course I watched the Dick Vitale Invitational last night, which was pretty interesting. Duke was in that, of course, right? Yeah. You know, those kind of things. Duke will be pretty good too, I think. By the way,
yeah.
Really good potentially.
I mean,
but we'll see.
They should be good. And in North Carolina, you finally have some size again. You went from Roy Williams last. You know, here's what happened. You went from Roy Williams last couple of years, where he had no guards and you were just like the land of the Giants. And where you had a team that had like 5 7-footers, and then Hubert Davis came in and said, "I don't want any 7-footers. I just want guards," because he was a guard. So we decided we don't need any of these 7-footers. We're too slow. We'll just get nothing but guards. And at some point, you have to find a happy medium between those two. And it may be that you found it now. We'll see. Last year, you were too many little guys at the court at the same time. So you went out and got some size.
Yeah, the Wilson kid's going to be, I think he has a chance. He won't be there but 1 year, but we haven't had anybody like him.
Yeah.
And it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Since.
Yeah.
So we'll see. On the fighting Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Some life. There's some life.
You were trying to give me some propaganda about some life about the last three games. I wasn't really buying it. Syracuse is terrible without a quarterback. Playing a lacrosse player, a midfielder, a quarterback.
Cal has a quarterback.
Doesn't say life.
Cal has a quarterback, and that was out there.
Yes, I think. And of course, Virginia is like everyone's, you know, darling now to win it all, I guess. You know, I don't know how they're there, but they are. So I don't know. There is signs of life. I think they played better all the way around, really, defensively. And even the quarterback, the little man, Johnny Manziel played a little better.
Yeah, he's played better, and the defense has certainly played better, and you've got a run game going. So there are some signs that there's some change.
Why do you think that is? Is it just because it was all new?
Yeah.
Nobody knew what their role, their plan, and it's just the evolution of a team getting a little better. Some teams get worse, some get better. Do you think it's simple as that? The ACC competition's not great, some of all of the above.
Yeah, I think it's probably all of the above, but I think it's, you know, learning Bill Belichick's system and playing it the exact way he wants you to play it, I think takes some time, especially for college kids. So I don't think it was ever going to be an overnight fix on that side of the ball. I mean, look, there's still a lot of work to be done if this thing is going to be salvaged. But at the very least, I think there are signs of life with it. I mean, if you had asked me this like 4 weeks ago after the Clemson-UNC game, I would have said Belichick's 100% gone. Now I'm not so sure. I think that there are some signs, and, you know, you'll probably win this weekend.
Got to get a quarterback. as you always say.
That's exactly right.
Somehow, some way.
Exactly right. That's really the next step. If there are some signs with the defense, you need a quarterback and probably another weapon or two.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen. Yep, good talking to you. Let me tell you about Canty. Water in the crawl space can sit there for months or years. Standing water in the home can damage the foundation, rot wooden beams and joists, cause mold and mildew, contribute to unhealthy air inside the home. Standing water and that musty smell in your basement can be a sign of major problems for you and your home if not addressed. Canty Foundation Specialists are your trusted local expert in basement waterproofing and crawl space repair. Canty offers solutions to fit any home or budget. Even the smallest leaks aren't going to get better over time, so call Canty today, 1-800-373-0949. 1-800-373-0949. They offer free inspections, lifetime warranties, financing's available if needed. Cracks in your exterior, interior walls, uneven floors or doors, windows that aren't open. Call 1-800-373-0949. Tell them we sent you. It's how it works. Visit their website, cantycanfixit.com. These people are the best. You'll thank me later. C-A-N-T-E-Y. Cantycanfixit.com. Waltip Tula Road Rage. Quick break. You can get in. 654-7627.
It's always big when the Clemson Tigers and Florida State Seminoles get together on the gridiron, and we've got you covered right here on the Roar. Kickoff at 7 o'clock inside Memorial Stadium this year. That means the Ingles Tiger pregame show starts at 1 inside Burton Gallery, right there inside Little John Coliseum. Then Tiger Tailgate Show with Faxon and his crew, Don, Tim, and Reggie with the call of the game, and Donnell Clark and I will give you all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. If it's Clemson football, it's here, the flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blochaven.com.
Samantha Porter, environmental educator, ready to encourage you. Pizza boxes, shipping and packaging boxes, appliance boxes are all examples of cardboard that is easy to recycle. Did you know that every school in Anderson County recycles their cardboard? And you can too. Did you know that cardboard generates the most recycling dollars, which allows our convenience centers to remain open and free to our residents? Anderson County Solid Waste is here to serve and help. 260-1001.
The wait is over. AC/DC's Back Live Power Up Tour. Saturday, July 11th. Bank of America Stadium with the Pretty Reckless. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Saturday, July 11th, Bank of America Stadium. Don't miss AC/DC, produced by AEG Presents.
For 85 years, Blue Ridge Electric Cooperative has empowered rural communities through quality service and reliability. We've grown to serve over 74,000 meters across 7,500 miles of power lines. Connect with us on social media and celebrate this special anniversary as we look back through our history with an eye towards maximizing our community's future. Blue Ridge Electric, a co-op built on service, wired to deliver.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI agent can be set up in minutes to answer calls and questions 24/7, so you never miss a customer lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
Mourning the loss of a loved one can be painful. If your loved one dies due to the negligence of someone else, you need someone by your side to help get you justice. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you navigate a wrongful death lawsuit. Nick and his staff are here to help you through every step of the legal process. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com.
Introducing the new ESPN Fox One Bundle. Unlock all of ESPN and all of Fox One with one unbeatable price. Catch the biggest games, college football, NBA, NHL, and more on ESPN. Stream your faves, Big Noon Saturday, the World Series, and NASCAR on Fox One. All for just $39.99 a month. That's 20% off the ESPN Fox One Bundle. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Access content from each service separately. Savings compared to purchasing both plans separately. See stream.espn.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hey, it's Desmond Howard. You want to win the weekend? It all starts with the tailgate. And for me, that means Kingsford Charcoal.
They've been bringing the flavor, the smoke, and the heat since 1920. No wonder they're still the gold standard of grilling. So fire it up, feed your crew, and let the smoke do the talking. Kingsford, the king of the tailgate. Get it today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
Well, I'm heading into Memphis, Memphis, Tennessee. The one place in this world I can get some good to eat. I'm hungry for some loving and some fried chicken. It goes down greasy, finger licking. I know just where to go. There's this woman I know.
Walt Diptulu Road Rage, we are back. Again, by the way, if Louisville played Virginia today on a neutral field, I'd probably pick Louisville. You know, no one's asking me that, by the way. I'm just volunteering it. It's just until something changes with the status quo, that's the way it has to be. Just to be fair, I mean, the argument would have been different had Louisville lost a 3-point game at Virginia. That would have been different in my mind, but they lost at home, and that's why you have to have that way. The only reason I'm thinking of that is actually because I just saw something I wrote on Twitter earlier today, this morning, and that is, where will Jeff Brohm be coaching? That's what made me think of Louisville. Where will Jeff Brohm be coaching in 2026? I think it's a really interesting question. It just occurred to me. I've thrown Brohm out in connection with Penn State, in connection with anywhere. I mean, you know, Penn State wants somebody who's proven that they can win against elite teams. Well, Brohm's proven that. So he would seem to fit all the criteria to me. What could Jeff Brohm do at Penn State? I mean, I think Penn State is truly an elite job. I don't really want to get into ranking these jobs like LSU. Listen, I think LSU is an elite job. I don't know if it's an elite job right this second, you know, because there's a lot of uncertainty about LSU right now in terms of the entire hierarchy and structure. I think it's an elite job, though. I don't want to get into, is LSU a better job than Penn State? Is LSU a better job than Florida? I think all three of those are elite jobs. I mean, I think they are absolutely elite jobs. And, you know, it may be before all is said and done that there'll be more. I think Venables is starting to make his case to be the long-term answer at Oklahoma, which I always thought he would be. It still might be a little bit of shaky ground. I mean, he still has to close out well. I mean, this thing has to continue moving in the right direction. The Tennessee win was a nice win, but, you know, Tennessee's about to drop out of the top 25. They already have for me. So I think he has to continue to move in the right direction. There's a lot of rumor about Sarkisian in the NFL. If Sarkisian moves to the NFL and the Texas job opens, is the Texas job the best of all of them? Might be. might be. From a financial standpoint, it certainly is, meaning the money that's available that the institution brings in. But, you know, we have major jobs open. Auburn, I think, is a pretty major job. It may not be quite Penn State or quite LSU, et cetera, but it's still a major job. I mean, you know, that's the next biggest job out there. And we'll see what happens with USC. Right now they're ranked and looks pretty good, but we'll see what happens with them down the stretch and whether people are still satisfied. I there are questions. Look, this is a wild, you know, look, let me play connect the dots, okay? Because the reason I even thought of this is not just the Jeff Brohm thing. I was thinking about what Deb O'Sweeney said at his press conference the other day, not the whole officiating thing. I have a completely different view on the officiating thing, but I'll get to that at some point. But the thing that I thought was interesting is that Deb O'Sweeney was relaying a story, a story about a conversation that he had with Manny Diaz some period of time ago. And it was about the notion that we were headed towards a future with lots of coaching dismissals. Deb O'Sweeney's belief was that with playoff expansion would come more coaching dismissals. Now, in some ways, and Bagel John, I'll get to you in a second, in some ways, that sounds a little counterintuitive, because you would think with more opportunities, more coaches would find salvation, right? With 12 instead of 4, there are more opportunities for coaches to have success at a high level, to get their teams to playoffs, right? But that may not be the way it's actually working. Deb O'Sweeney might be right about his suggestion to Manny Diaz. It might be that the expectation level has correspondingly risen for all these institutions now. In other words, before there could only be 4. When there was only 4, if you didn't make it, well, you know, there are only 4.
It's hard.
Right. It's too hard. There are only 4. Now that it's 12, it's back to being easy. You know, now that it's 12, it's like, okay, now it's easy. So now you people should be doing this all the time. So I think that Coach Swinney was right about that appraisal. Because like I said, on the surface, it sounds a little counterintuitive. But in reality, I don't think it is. I think it's actually what's happening. And we're seeing it. I mean, again, this stuff all snowballed when Penn State fired a 13-win coach. They fired a guy over the last 4 years has averaged 11.33 wins a year. And the only teams he loses to are the two teams that won national championships in Michigan and Ohio State. He's not losing to your run-of-the-mill top 25 teams. You know, he had won 34 straight games against unranked teams. You know, it's madness. It still is. It's even more madness that you didn't have a guy. If you were going to fire Franklin, you had to have a guy in tow already who answered all these questions that you had about Franklin. And again, from Penn State sources, the first guy on their list was Matt Rhule. That's Penn State sources saying that. Well, you know, again, that's blown up, and I think it really blew up when Matt Rhule's team again showed that they actually stink, and when people started actually talking about the fact that Matt Rhule's never being a ranked team, you know, I mean, almost never, of any sort. So where does Penn State go that's better than Franklin? I mean, to me, it better be a guy like Jeff Brohm. It better be somebody like that. I am really curious about these moves. I mean, is Kiffin actually going to jump to LSU? Is Kiffin actually going to jump to – is Saban going to actually take LSU? Is Kiffin going to Florida? Is Jeff Brohm going to Penn State or Florida? You know, that we have musical chairs in the coaching industry. Where's James Franklin going? At first it was Virginia Tech. It seemed like that thing was sort of locked up. That seemed like what we were hearing. And then Auburn opened up. And all of a sudden you started hearing James Franklin in connection with Auburn. I think Franklin to Auburn makes all sorts of sense. Bengal John. John, how are you, John? Good to have you.
Good, Walt. Good. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Well, we now have an athletic director, and we now have a president and a chancellor.
Yeah.
At least things are moving in the right direction. I've got two questions for you, Walt. With all the jobs being open, How long can you afford to wait if you're going to offer somebody like Kiffin, who possibly will be in the playoff, which would mean he wouldn't make a move until he completes that? Can you afford to wait till January? Can you even afford to wait to December? I mean, how much luxury do you have now that you've got some alignment in place, a coach that's going to come in that's going to know who he's working for now? That was a critical thing. Tell me how long you feel, in your opinion, that they can wait to make a big offer, because you've got so many jobs that are big jobs, just like you mentioned. I mean, if Florida comes calling and offers the right amount of money, does Lane take that? I mean, so I guess my first question is how long can you afford to wait? Or do you feel like they're going to make a real move really, really quick and say, hey, complete your season, and if you make the playoffs, we'll talk to you after that? Or what?
Yeah, I mean,
this is kind of a precarious situation.
Yeah. I think you have to have some sort of back channel answer on that. I don't think you can just afford to wait forever and sit idly by. I think you have to know some sort of answer, like, really soon, as to whether, if you're going in that direction. I mean, we hear all these names floated, unless you're going, you know, has James Franklin's name come up at all in LSU circles?
No, the three big ones
is
Saban's out.
Okay.
Saban is, no, he's turned it down. He talked to Verge Osbury. They've been friends for over 20 years. Osbury was a part of that hire when they hired Saban. So they have a really, really good relationship. According to Osbury, unless he's trying to cover this up with a blanket, Saban's not taking that job under no circumstances. I've been led to believe, Walt, through pretty solid information, that the bullseye is on Kiffin. But we've got a situation, as I already mentioned, that Kiffin's probably, if he obviously wins out, obviously that's a playoff team. And how far does he go? First, second round? I don't know. But then, you know, so that was kind of what I was saying. I mean, how long can you afford to wait? And that's kind of the buzz in Baton Rouge. Do they throw out a huge number right now and get a commitment and a handshake to the end of the season? Or do you kind of sit back and watch this play out? And I don't think you can afford to with jobs in the SEC.
No, look, if Kiffin's your guy, then you have to go all out to get him. I mean, and if he's the guy you've decided on, whether, you know, again, regardless of the timetable of that. Look, listen, I don't think we're above in this world. We've seen coaches not coach bowl games and go other places. I don't think we're above having a coach skip on the playoffs. I don't. I think it's perfectly possible. Now, what I would say to that is, well, that speaks to the character of that individual, and that's the guy you're bringing in.
Right, right.
So that's not, in my mind, if something like that were to happen, and it's probably the next step, we're probably going to see that at some point. If something like that were to happen, I think it would speak really poorly of that individual, and if anything like that happened, probably the first one it would happen with is Kiffin. So, you know, look, he's in demand. I mean, it seems like there are three possibilities. He just enhances his own situation at Ole Miss, and he continues to be the king of Ole Miss, or he goes to LSU or Florida. Those seem like the three. I don't think he's a fit at Penn State. I think it's one of those three spots. So I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'll make this one quick. I know Marcus Freeman is on the list, and this is, I'm going to take it off there, and I'll listen to it after the break.
Yep.
It seems that...
I gotta go.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Everyone knows nothing goes better with football than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Get your trays, nuggets, minis, strips, and more. Herb, class of 82, and Carol, class of 84, know the importance of football and great food, so get on the Chick-fil-A app or call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, do we need to start thinking about pruning our shrubs?
You know, we generally prune in the spring because they're growing like crazy and through the summer. But the fall's not a bad time to prune. They're going into a dormancy. If you can get in there and prune them, specifically hand prune those shrubs, they'll do so much better. And you can preserve the buds so the flowers come out better. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Transmission problems. AAMCO Transmissions of Greenville is the home of the 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Sleep better, knowing you are covered at 500 shops across the land. Don't take our word for it. Check our reviews. AAMCO of Greenville is located on Malden Road, 100 yards from I-85, off exit 46C. You'd better call Saul today at 864-277-